If you would, open the precious Word of God to the book of 1 John in the New Testament. The little epistle of 1 John, near the very end. If you go to the very end of the Bible, you'll find the book of Revelation. And then you'll find a little book called Jude. And then you will come to the three little epistles of John. We'll be looking at the first epistle of John, and we'll just be looking at the first few verses here. And then I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask you to pray. The music's been wonderful. All of the things that are here, the fellowship's going to be great. But you know, we can be here in this meeting and miss what God has for us. If our heart's not tender, ready, we can hear with our physical ears. But I pray that we will be hearing with our spiritual ears and our heart open and ready for what God has for us. Do you believe that the very God of heaven wants to speak to us? I can't imagine that. The very God of heaven that's created everything cares enough about me to take the time to speak to me. You say, Pastor, how does he speak to us? Well, he speaks to us three ways, I believe. First of all, I believe he speaks through his word. This is revealed, God's revealed word to us. He will speak through his word. I believe God speaks to us through other people. God uses people, and when people speak, and sometimes I've learned from a child. I believe God has used children in my life to say something that God's used in my life, but I also believe God uses circumstances. I don't know where you find your life today. I don't know what's going on in your life. I don't know what's personal to you today. I don't know what burdens you've shouldered as you've walked in this building. I don't know what maybe fear that you're dealing with in your mind, maybe anxiety. I don't know. But God knows. And as they were singing this song, I can't help but think of back through my life. You know, during the holidays, you know, you get sentimental, you reminisce. I was thinking the other day, I was thinking about family. As a child, you think really things will never change. You know, our schedule for holidays, for Thanksgiving, was the same for years. I mean, you know, for years as a child growing up, we went to both of my grandparents. But you know, both of my grandparents are in heaven now. Things change. And I look back through my life and I think about, as they were singing, things became real to me. I look back over my life and I say, Lord, why did you allow that to happen? Why did this storm have to come? Why did I have to be in that valley? But you know, through the valleys, God allows all of these things to bring us closer to him. That's the meaning of life, is knowing him better. And I'm saddened today, there are so many people that even frequent buildings like this on a pretty often basis of people, and I wonder, how much do we desire to know him, know the Lord, to have a personal relationship with him? So we don't have a religion. Religion's never helped anybody. But I'm thankful he's my personal friend. The Lord is my personal Savior. And I'm thankful, as David said, he is my shepherd. And I'm thankful that he is real to me. I want you to look in 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. The Bible says this: that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested. I want you to notice that word in a moment. We'll look at that, manifested. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested. There's that word again, unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. You think about joy. that it might be full. You know, happiness changes. Happiness determines is based upon happenings. Sometimes I'm happy, sometimes I'm blue. My disposition depends on you. You know, someone say, well, my happiness is based on how my wife's mood is today. Amen. Well, mama's happy, so everybody else is going to be happy. And we understand, you know, you'll catch me from time to time. I'll be crying. You say, Pastor, why ain't you happy? Because there's happenings going on around us that's making me sad. Happiness and sad might change. Moods might change, but joy is forever. The Bible says that joy, no matter what our happening is around us, if we tap into what he's speaking on here today, our joy might be full. Once upon a time in a land far, far away. You remember those words as a little boy or maybe as a little girl, that once upon a time, you know, that fairy tale little statement. I think about when I was a boy, you know, once upon a time. And you know, as a child, we'd enter into that statement, and that was kind of a door to a fairy tale, to a fairyland, to a dream world, once upon a time. But then, I don't know, somewhere around teen years, maybe young adults, pow! Pow! Where in the world is that far, far ago, or a land far, far away? Pretty soon you've learned that far, far away and once upon a time was kiddie stuff. Life gets hard. Life becomes a struggle. It's amazing, as a child, a teenager, you know, I couldn't wait to get in school, and now I wish I could go back to those years. You think about how hard it was to pass those tests, you know, hard to study. Man, you just thought it was real hard, you know, mean teachers making us do all that homework. And we just had in our mind, man, if we could just get out from school, nobody's going to tell us what to do. Then you get married. And then bills come. Finances comes. Where once, all of a sudden, you didn't mind losing a flashlight because you didn't pay for that flashlight, but pretty soon you realize, hey, things aren't given to me. Well, I shouldn't say, in this country, we believe in giving stuff to people. But really, you should work for it. And you can say amen right there. That's a good old-fashioned word that still works. Work. The Bible says if a man don't work, he don't eat. But we live in a day where then life gets hard, maybe teenage years, young adults. Then you say, hey, I know what, we're going to have a family. We're going to have a family. Well, then not only you're trying to feed you and your spouse, now you've got another mouth to feed. Maybe the Lord blesses again, and you know, now you got another mouth to feed. And then next thing you know, your car breaks down, and then you find out you got a leaky roof. And like this morning, we woke up after my wife was up all night fixing turkeys and hams and all this stuff. She opened up the kitchen sink this morning and she said, oh, honey, we have a leak. You know, and you're already dressed for church, and so you can't really fix the leak. But life gets hard, and I'm sitting here sometimes even in my life and I say, where's that once upon a time? You discover life's a battleground. You discover life is not a playground anymore. It's no more fairy tales. Your desires change from maybe once upon a time, and here's what your desire is when you start realizing life is sometimes a struggle. You want something. Are y'all ready? Real. You want something real. You want something real. Something that really works. Something that sustains. A life that is real. The search for something real has been going on since the beginning of history. Men have looked for it. All men, every man, every woman, every child wants satisfaction of life. We're all looking for it. And by the way, we've looked for it in wealth. We've looked for it in thrills. We've looked for it in power. We've looked for it in learning. We've even looked for it in religion. Something that satisfies. It amazes me the day of thrills that we live in. Can you believe that I'm married to a woman that wants to jump out of a perfectly good airplane? She's the most giving lady I've ever met in my life. She's a solid lady. But something's wrong for anybody who wants to jump out of a good airplane or to jump off of a high bridge with a bungee cord on their back. Somebody say amen right there. But it amazes me the attempts and the extremes that we continue to push the levels in this society to bring satisfaction only if it's just for mere seconds. How much have we wasted and given up just to be satisfied, Brother Don, for mere moments? What is that search all about? It's for something that's real, something that will satisfy. There's nothing really wrong with this experience of looking and searching for something that will satisfy, because it has went on by the beginning of man, and God has created us for us to be fulfilled and for us to be satisfied. So that search has been going on, but the problem with that experience is if we are just trying to find something real or something that satisfies in just wealth and thrills and power and learning and even religion, the problem with that is it will never by themselves give us what we're searching for. We're now living in a day where people are addicted to drugs and to alcohol and those types of things. And you say, Pastor, what is the desire of that? It's a desire to be satisfied, to maybe numb the hurt and the pain and the sorrow that people have to deal with. So instead of dealing with it, they just drug up or they drink up and they forget their sorrows for a time. But the sad thing is, when that high comes down, the problem's bigger than it was before. So people are allured by this experience of wanting to have something real, and they're always chasing that real by something that will never truly satisfy. Wanting something real and finding something real are two totally different things. All of us want something real. But the great decision is where to find it. Can I say to you this morning that it's not in a thrill? Although maybe jumping out of an airplane, by the way, it's not sinful. Now, ignorant, maybe. Nothing wrong with you jumping out of a perfectly good airplane, but if that's what your joy of life is, I'm sorry, because what happens if your parachute don't open? If you're looking for something real and it's in your finances, your 401k or your savings account, what happens when something happens to that savings account? It's due subject to change. Then that means that thing that we think is real and we're counting on for it to be real and to satisfy and to be something that we really need, it's gone. And we've seen people go out and take their lives because they have banked on something that they thought was real that did not satisfy. So the question is this: wanting something real and finding something real are two totally different things. Can I say to you, this is where our text from 1 John comes in. It's a message that is never out of date, and it deals with this, and here's the title. Thank God, I'm grateful. This is Thankful Sunday, right? I thank God it's real. I thank God this morning I have a life that is real. And I had to learn the hard way that I tried it in things. I tried it in people. I tried it in maybe popularity. I tried it in getting involved in certain things, and I've come up empty. But I want you to know this morning, I found the realness of life and the absolutely satisfaction of life is not found in a place. It's not found in a thrill. It's not found in wealth. It's not found in recognition. It's found in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's real. John discovered that satisfying reality is not to be found in thrills. It's to be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Quickly, as we look at this, I want you to notice, number one, this life is revealed. You ever We got something the other day, and I think it was from Bass Pro or Cabela's or something, and it had one of them gray scratch-off stickers. Y'all know what I'm talking about, the scratch. Y'all know what the scratch-off stickers are. You scratch off this sticker to find out what you're winning. But, you know, it's something you have to do to find. You have to search for it. You've got to scratch it off. But listen, Brother Mike, I'm glad this life that's real is not something we have to look for. If you'll look at verse number 1, there's two words that are used twice in the same verse. The Bible says it has been manifested unto us. You know what that means? It's been revealed. It's been revealed. We don't have to scratch off any sticker. Hey, we don't have to go looking for something. The Bible said this life that is real has been revealed to us. God is not playing hide and seek. People are walking around in this world looking for something that will satisfy to come up empty. And God's already said, it's right in front of you. Why did Jesus Christ come? He came to give us life. Don't miss it. Better said, don't miss him. He's been revealed. Oh, we're trying to hoop it up, and we're trying to find it in all these things that we come up empty. Why? Because it's temporary. If you were God, will you think with me? If you were God, how would you go about revealing yourself to us? I mean, if he says, all right, now, y'all supposed to come to church, supposed to do this, don't do this, don't do this. Don't. See, some people just look at the Christian life like it's a bunch of rules of do's and don'ts. You think, oh, I don't want to be like pastor. You know, that was my idea growing up. I said, man, I don't want to be a preacher. They don't have no fun. They're weird. Some of you might think, man, Pastor Mark, he's weird. You know, I thought my preacher, you know, he said, you know, he just sat at home all day and read the Bible and, you know, just, you know, I mean, he was just Mr. Pilkington. Like, man, I just thought he's weird. I mean, I can't be like Mr. Pilkington. He's weird. He's a preacher. I mean, he's reading the Bible. No, I learned something. Preachers aren't weird. Preachers are human. Amen. Preachers need something real just like everybody else needs something real. Preachers need something, but maybe the difference between a preacher and maybe somebody else is that preacher has had some type of a low moment in his life that he tried everything else and finally came to a place and said, you know what? It don't work. Jesus, you work. Amen. Then you get passionate about it because you say it. I'm going to tell you why I get passionate about it, because I've tried other things. I've been out in the world, and I just want y'all to know by experience, it don't work. You come up empty. You have bad relationships. Can I say to every young couple here just a second, if you think that you're going to get married and be happy without Jesus, you're going to fail. You're not going to make it. Oh, but he loves me, and oh, we love enjoying time. Can I just help y'all with something? You're never going to make it without Jesus, because if you can't have a relationship with somebody that you can't see, you certainly aren't going to be able to have a relationship with someone you live with. Been revealed. This life. But if you were God, if I asked you, if you were God, Miss Cindy, Miss Ivy, if you were God, how would you reveal yours? If he says to us, I've revealed this life to you now, how is the best way I can reveal that to you so you can live this life that I want you to live, that your joy might be full? How would you reveal it? How would I reveal it? I mean, in this day, really the only way we could reveal it is through words. I told the young people today, when you get into a relationship with someone, you better find out what their heart is about. You better listen to their heart. You better be able to know who they are. And the only way you can know that is by communication. It amazes me. Some people, you can never get to the bottom of something. Some people are such good at hiding things. They don't want you to really know the truth, so they camouflage it all the time. I spoke to someone the other day, and I asked a question, and I knew what was going to happen. He wasn't going to tell me the truth. He went all the way around it because I already knew the truth, but he was going to go all the way around the truth. You say, why? Because he really didn't want me to know his heart. But if we're going to have something revealed, the only way I can reveal myself to you is speak to you with words. and live the life in front of you. By the way, how did God reveal himself? Well, he revealed us through creation. God said that he revealed himself through creation, but merely just knowing that God created this earth, you can't have a personal relationship with someone just because you know there's a God because of creation. But then he says he's revealed through our conscience. Every person knows there is a God through conscience. Now, our consciences can be seared. But how's the greatest way the very God of heaven revealed himself? Through his precious Son. That's how he's revealed himself. The Bible used the word in verse 1, Brother Mike. He's revealed in the word of life. Jesus Christ is the word between God and man. The Jesus that you read about in all of the Gospels according to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, is that's who God is. To know God is to know Jesus. If you're going to know God, if you want to know God and who he is, then you're going to see God through the revelation and through who his Son, Jesus Christ, is. It's the greatest way someone can reveal is to reveal it in a life. Why did Jesus come? He came to seek and to save that which is lost. That tells me a lot about God. I don't know about y'all, but if someone needs help, there are some times I don't want to help them. There are times instead of giving, I like to take. Instead of giving, I like to receive. But God just revealed himself when Jesus Christ didn't have to come. But because he loved us, he gave himself to us. That reveals to us the heart and the mind of God. We have a God that loves us. And he didn't just say it, he proved it. It's one thing just to say, I love you, Mike, I love you, Mike, I love you, Mike. But you know, Mike, as my brother-in-law, I would hope to think he knows that I love him more than just me speaking. But words are important. But if I reveal my love to him, God doesn't need to do another thing for me. He's already revealed his love to me. I shouldn't doubt the rest of my days whether another good thing happens to me. He's already revealed himself and his love through his Son. How would you reveal that to people? Jesus is just like our words as we speak to someone else. He's revealed this life through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ to us is what our words are to others. It reveals what we think and who we are. And Jesus Christ has revealed what God thinks and who he is. We're lost in our sin, not worth much. Can I say to y'all this morning, I'm not worth much. Oh, I like to dress up, you know, and sometimes I walk around and say, I'm the pastor around here. But you know who I really, who I am? I'm really an old hell-deserving sinner. That's really who I am. Do you really know who I am? If I told you, I'd be ashamed at some of the things that I fought this month. You know why? Because I'm an old sinner. Not worth much. Bible says I'm just clay, and when I die, my old body is going to go back to the ground. I'm just dust and dirt. So why do you say we put so much on to make it? Well, we got to make the dirt look better. But the truth is this, we're not much. Some of us understand we would maybe give our lives to someone we love, but what if would we give something to someone, maybe an old pedophile in the prison? Would we give our life to someone like that? I don't know about you, but I wouldn't be the first to jump up and say, yeah, I'll trade my life for his. But that's what Jesus did. He reveals to us who he is through his Son. And I don't know if that doesn't motivate you, if that doesn't excite you, if that doesn't encourage you, I don't know what will. See, we live in a day where we think we are something when we're really not. I told our teenagers today, they've been conditioned to take. We're conditioning our children to take. Gimme, 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 gimme. That's usually normally why marriages aren't making it. Someone told me years ago, well, I learned that if you're going to have a successful marriage, you got to give a little bit. Wrong. Got to give a lot. Got to give a lot. You got to be selfless. And I've failed, but I thank God I live with a woman that's helped me to be selfless. Bless her heart. She's been in the nursery this morning. She's back in there again. Last night. Not being ugly, but somehow we got mixed up and we had to have two hams cooked. She's already signed up for a turkey. There was two hams left in the fridge. Laura found out about it, and she said, honey, go over and get them hams. I said, honey, we already fixing a turkey and macaroni and cheese and deviled eggs and stuffing. She said, but honey, we got to get them hams fixed. And so I went over here last night and got them hams, and son, put them things in the oven last night. She's up cooking them all evening, all night long. And then she had to get that turkey in the oven last night. And she set her alarm at 2 o'clock in the morning just so she could go in there and set that turkey in the oven. And then she got up early this morning to get that turkey out. And I'm sitting here thinking, honey, that's a lot of work. But there's a lesson in that. Who'd she do it for? Well, she wasn't doing it for herself, and she wasn't doing it for me, but she was doing it for others. And I've been privileged to marry a woman like that. And by the way, she's been one of my greatest teachers. Because you know what I am? I'm selfish. I want mine. I got to have mine. I'm not going to do that. It costs too much. But oh, I'm glad Jesus revealed himself, said, hey, I'll go. I'll go. I'll die for that old worthless sinner in the prison. I'll die for that little old boy down there at 1600 Temple Street. Put your shoes on the wrong feet. I'll go for that little fella down there at Hinton, sitting up there in that bedroom wondering what he's going to do with his life. I'll go. I'm glad God's revealed himself through his son. This life's been revealed through his son. It's been revealed quickly. This life is experienced. Verses 1 through 4, read them again. We don't have time, but read them again. You'll notice he had a personal encounter with Jesus Christ. Not second-handed. Not what somebody told him. Not what grandma had. Well, that's the church I go to because that's where grandma and grandpa went. I hope you're coming here for more than that. Well, I tell you, I just don't know. I better just keep on with that because that's kind of how our family has done it. No, it's not a second-handed faith. He had a personal relationship with Jesus. You know where I hid for years? I hid behind the preacher. So, well, I go to a good church. Preacher, Mr. Pilkington's got enough for me, but I found out Mr. Pilkington didn't have enough for me. I said, well, I'm a Brandon. My family's been to church all their life, but I come to find out, Brother Don, when this life become a little tough, Brother Clay, I realized I wasn't going to be able to get through because of my mom and dad's faith. I have something personal. I'm glad this life is experienced. You'll notice he had a personal encounter with Jesus Christ, not second-handed, not what somebody else said. He seen him. He met him. Jesus had proved himself. He was real. He knew he was real. Do you know he's real? Amen. One of our teenagers today in the teen class said this. I was asking him to give little blessings and some things they were thankful for. And I'm thankful. This young man said, well, I want you to know I'm thankful that when things get hard, Jesus helps you through the hard times. I thought, boy, that's a blessing to hear a teenager say that. Jesus will help you through the hard times. He didn't say drugs will. He didn't say a party will. He didn't say, well, I'm going to go take a prescription drug here and get a narcotic. He didn't say that's going to get me through. I'm going to tell you what he said. He said, I'm glad. Now, this is a teenager now. So I learned something about that teenager that he must know what it means to go through a little bit of a hard time, but he also has learned this, unless he was just lying to me, and I personally don't think he was. He says, no, Jesus helped me through some hard times. That's what I'm talking about. You'll never know he's real till you have to lean on him. Is he real? Then this last one. What am I doing this morning? What am I up here talking and hollering and spitting? And I've been more passionate at times, Brother Don. I've gotten a little fierier at times. But, hey, why am I up here? Why are we having this? Oh, I know we're going to eat. But why? Why? Because this life should be shared. Now, y'all stay with me. I watch people. Y'all watch people? Yeah, it's kind of my business, you know. I'm in the people business, so. In people business, I watch people. I pay attention to people. I watch what they do. I watch how their children are. I watch things like that because the way people live, you watch it, you'll learn about what they do in secret. You learn really what they are, who they are. And here's the amazing thing to me. Brother Mike, I've been in the ministry 20 years just last week, 96. I preached my first sermon in November 6, 1996. Right in that week, my grandfather died. The 5th, I was standing beside my grandfather's casket, November the 5th, 1996, and a preacher standing beside me asked me if I would preach, scared to death. I'd never preached in my life. I've been in this thing 20 years. You know what the greatest thrill and joy for me is when families that weren't in church, but something had happened in their life and they knew they needed something more, and God brings them to a church, to a place where they know they need help, and they come to a place of where they start listening to the Word of God and they start knowing that there's more to life than what they've been living. And so maybe one of them gets saved, maybe they both get saved, maybe they come and rededicate their life, maybe they just start doing what they know to do and they start coming faithful to church. And I've seen, listen to me, hundreds of people like that. They'll come in, and the happiest and the most joyful that I've ever seen them is when they're faithful to church and they're growing and they're serving in the Lord, and they're just their relationship with the Lord, and they're excited about church and they're faithful to church and they're starting to grow. But here's what happens. Something happens there, and the next thing you know, those same people that were really happy and excited and full of joy, all of a sudden, for whatever reason, maybe it's not bad things, but maybe other things starts taking their time, and maybe they get another job, or maybe they get upset with something and something just didn't go their way, and so they get out of church. And here's what I've noticed in 20 years. Those same people that were happy and full of joy and had purposes when they had a relationship with the Lord and in church. But Miss Cindy, it amazes me. Some of them I see now that used to be happy and full of joy, now they're some of the grouchiest, unhappiest people I've ever met. Their relationships are getting ready to break apart. Their relationships aren't working like they was. They're just putting up with one another instead of, but it was funny, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 4 years ago, their relationship with their marriage was better. Their relationship with everything else was better. They had joy. They got up in the morning. They wasn't discouraged. They wasn't depressed. They were entering into this joy, this life that was real. But what happened? And then someone like me to go to them and say, hey, what's going on? Oh, I'm fine. 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 Well, what's going on? I tell you, this is going on. Those same things was going on 5 years ago, but it didn't have that effect on them. Those same hard things was going on 6 years ago, but their relationship wasn't as shaky as it is now. What's the common denominator? Somehow they've gotten out of the life that is real. And they've put their affections on jobs, work, whatever, education. I talked to someone the other day, and he basically, this is what he said to me, used to be faithful. I mean, faithful, was faithful to church. He looked, oh, I don't have time for church anymore. By the way, I can tell it by his life, too. And not because he's a bad guy, and not because he's out here ruining his life. I'm going to tell you why. He doesn't have any joy. Can I say to every young couple here today, do you know the happiest and most joyful relationship my wife has ever had is we're both tapped in to the Lord Jesus and we're living with Him being a part of our lives. But you want to see me unhappy and full of no joy? I get out from this life that's real. Some people say, Pastor, you're one of them religious people. That stuff don't work. Have you ever tried Him? Have you ever tried Him? Y'all, how many of y'all like banana pudding? How many have never tried banana pudding? Would you raise your hand? Well, can I just say, don't knock it till you try it. Some people say, I don't like that old deer. I don't know how you can eat that old deer. How many of y'all ever ate deer before? How many of you, hey, raise your hand if you've never had deer. Venison, would you raise your hand? Don't knock it till you try it. Oh, that Pastor Branham, he's up there ranting and raving. And what he's got, hey, don't knock it till you try it. Amen. Well, boy, I wish I had a good marriage. Well, I can tell you the way. Well, I'll tell you, I wish I was happy and joyful like so-and-so. Well, I can tell you how you can get it. It's not in things. It's not in money. It's not in wealth. It's in Jesus Christ. He's real. He's been manifested. I've seen him with my eyes of faith. I've heard him with my ears of faith. They said they've even handled him. By the way, y'all know we've handled the Word of God. It's real. Don't knock it till you try it. And if you got away from it, I got good news for you this morning. You can get it back. He says he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you're here this morning, you're searching for real life, I hope you'll look to him. Proof's in the pudding. Y'all believe I'd lie to you? I've tried a lot of other things. I wish I could take all of y'all back when my wife and I first got married. What a mess we had. It wasn't because we weren't trying. We was trying everything we knew. But we were still unsatisfied. And it wasn't because we wasn't trying. And I know there's people here this morning, you're trying, bless your heart. You're trying. But you're trying the wrong things. You say, Pastor, you tell me if I come down that aisle and get saved and I make the Lord more personal in my life that everything will change? Nope. Nope. But I can tell you this. If you're here and you're not saved, he'll save you. And if you die, you'll go to heaven. Then I'll tell you something else. It's true. He'll sustain you through every struggle you'll go through. Thankful Sunday, I'm thankful he's real. And I'm just an old dumb boy from West Virginia. I found the way. I found something real. How about you?